Blog Talk Radio.
Since we got the regular season started, just because Brian Boyle wasn't scoring every night, all you Ranger fans out there were getting on his case. While I stood in his corner, me and Brian Boyle to the very end, and I kept telling you people, you're being unfair to him, you don't know what you're talking about. You guys called up with your names, and you're sending me all these little clips to play to make fun of him. Like, you know,
it's the
like
players away from the puck. Brian Boyle, we've done that fucking coverage all fucking year long. Got that fucking mic on. You can't fucking think straight.
And this one.
You seem to be more of a thinker than I am.
Not me. I didn't want any part of it. Brian Boyle and me together to the very end.
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, there, Pinocchio.
Yeah, thank you, Paulie. You know, you guys picking on Brian Boyle. Leave Brian. Get off Brian Boyle's back. It's enough. I told you he'd come around. He'd be just fine.
Lies.
Jumping off ship. Lies, 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 yeah.
Lies, 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 yeah.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Game 3, wrap-up edition. Eddie, how are you?
Come on. Do we even have to ask all of us, me, anybody? We are fantastic after a 1-0 victory, 39 shot save, shut out by the king, Henrik Lundqvist, doing the job, shutting the door on a potent Ottawa offense.
Ottawa.
Rangers get a victory. It's 2-1. I'm doing good.
Glad to hear it. All right, you want to hear the real Brian Boyle opening now?
Yes.
The truthful one?
Yes.
All right. Hold on. Here it comes.
Father.
Whoop.
Father
wrong clip.
Juices.
No. Stop playing the clips. Brian.
I'm sorry.
Brian.
So sorry. That I was such a fool.
Brian.
I know.
Brian.
I could be so cruel.
I'm sorry, Mr. Boyle, for all those horrible things I said about you. I didn't mean it when I said you had bad hands or couldn't skate or couldn't handle the puck or couldn't handle the stick. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. No hard feelings, right, Brian? We love you, Brian.
All right.
That's enough.
She put me to sleep. That was a good bit. Good bit. I love it. A show with production values. I enjoy it.
Oh, the money we spend on this production.
Ah.
Costs more than Devil's tickets, playoff tickets. Did you hear about that? See that on the Facebook group?
No, I didn't see this.
Well, somebody put the word out on Twitter this morning. I forget who it was. That Devil's tickets were available on StubHub for tonight's game for $20 a piece. So I started a hashtag on Twitter, costs more than Devil's playoff tickets. And so I'd start putting things like things that cost more than Devil's playoff tickets, like a haircut, a half tank of gas, you know. And it immediately caught on to the point where it was trending in New York.
Which, wow.
I mean, that takes a lot, you know, for a time. I mean, you got to have a lot of people talking about a topic to get it going. And, I mean, there was some people were really creative with them. Dubinsky's hair products cost more than Devil's playoff tickets. Marty Brodeur's White Castle order costs more than Devil's playoff tickets. Now, do you remember the guy, Kevin Kinesa, that we had on the show when we did the Atlantic Division preview? He came on and talked about the Devils.
Yes.
Well, he tweets out, the moron who thought this up, psychiatry bills cost more than Devil's playoff tickets. He didn't know it was me. And then I think it was Matt, who's one of our regular listeners. He told Kevin, hey, Kevin, Jim from Blue Shirt Underground Radio started it. And Kevin sent me all kinds of apologies. He's like, oh, my God, Jim, I'm so sorry. I go, no, it's all right. Nobody knows I'm a moron more than I do. He felt really bad. I'm like, don't worry about it. I said, I pick on my own. I pick on everybody. But there were some great ones. I'll sprinkle them in throughout the show. Ryan Callahan's chicken parm costs more than Devil's playoff tickets. The last parking ticket I got outside Madison Square Garden cost more than Devil's playoff tickets. Are they still losing, by the way?
Last I checked, it's 4-3.
4-3? Okay.
That's the last time I checked. And they blew a 3-goal lead. So, But enough of reveling in other people's pain. Let's bask in the joy of the Rangers' Game 3 victory against the Ottawa Senators and review or recap or rehash what happened in that game, both the positive, the negative, and the neutral. Jim, what was your feeling going into the game? What was going on during the game? And what happened after the game?
Well, I can tell you that last night was the first time the playoff intensity really got to me last night. You know, I was just completely just zoned out. My daughter's trying to talk to me, you know, and I had some nervous moments in game one and even in game two, but last night was different. Last night felt like some previous years more so than ever, because they just I didn't think they played that well. You know, I mean, I didn't think they got many scoring chances. Again, you know, too much time in their own zone. Ottawa was moving the puck very well. Last night was all Henrik Lundqvist and then the goal from Brian Boyle. I mean, you know, Callahan had that breakaway that he just missed on. But I didn't think they got a lot going last night. Last night was the first time where I was advocating breaking up the lines, because I just think I think Ottawa's doing a really good job against the Richards and Gabrick line. And I thought last night might have been a good time. The one time I thought he should juggle the lines, he didn't do it. So, but Ottawa's playing. You know, I can't really take anything away from Ottawa. They've these three games have been decided by a total of 4 goals. You know, Ottawa's played very well, and I think the Rangers still need to step up their game to get this done.
I think that's a fairly good assessment. I mean, I think if you put Henrik Lundqvist in the Ottawa goal, you may have the same series outcome so far. But this instead being on Ottawa's side. Micheletti and Rosen tried to paint this as a goaltender's duel. I didn't see it that way. I saw, you know, Henrik making a lot more quality stops. You know, and when it was all said and done, he had faced 39 shots. I'm trying to see what we got on that. A total of 23. 8-8-7 in the third. They had 12-13-14. So that's a lot of shots. I'm looking at just dominated on faceoffs. We lost faceoffs 29-15. We were out hit.
Not faceoffs last night.
48-33. I mean, that did have more blocks, but that was even marginable. Marginal. So I think the game was a little bit close. Obviously, it was close. It was 1-0. I felt the Rangers still haven't hit the groove yet. And there's a couple players we can talk about who certainly I think are struggling. And I know Mandar is going to relish in this because I have a little criticism of Michael Delzato, or as number four, as he calls him. Michael seems a little bit hesitant out there. He's not making the plays that I think he should. And not that I want to be super critical of him at this juncture, because it is his first playoff series, it's 3 games in. But I think he's got to step it up a little bit.
No, he was with him in the playoffs last year, wasn't he?
No, I think he was in Hartford, right? I don't think he was brought up.
Was he hurt?
He may have gotten hurt. He may have gotten hurt while he was with the Whale and not played. That's probably what happened.
Now I'm...
Because I know Gilroy played. I don't remember him and Delzato playing last year. So,
boys,
we'll check.
Just to pick on the Ottawa, boy, is Gilroy. Boy, does he look bad. Maybe Maybe I was just looking at him through Ranger-colored glasses when he was with her. Because I was always kind of, I think he'll be okay. And, you know, I was always kind of in his corner. But, he's bad. He's been bad.
Well, he's still growing into his body.
Right, right. At 30.
At 30. love you, Matt, in person, but don't try to bullshit a bullshitter. Derek Stepan, to me, is a guy who has not been right since that Bruce Orpik hit against Pittsburgh towards the end of the season. He just looks very tentative out there, and he doesn't seem to have any speed whatsoever. There was a point, I think, when Fedotenko had a two-on-one with him, and I think Fedotenko waited just a little bit too long. It's not Stepp's fault that that happened. So I'm trying to remember, you know, how many times was he involved? And he's the kind of guy that I'm kind of relying on, I think we are as fans and the team, is to chip in the odd goal and to get some scoring chances. I'm a little worried about him. Certainly, you know, it's a long season. I don't think it's a durability issue. He may be playing injured. I don't know. You know who had, I thought, a much better game 3 than he had game 1 and 2 was Mike Rupp. That line of Johnny Malkin, Joni Mitchell, and they were switching it up depending on where Kreider was playing or, you know, Kreider got first line. We'll talk about how he looked. I thought the fourth line really played a lot better as the game went on. They got some good forechecks going, and they really need to do that because the Rangers as a team have not done that all that well as much as they did in the regular season, is get the puck down there and work it. They're not working the Ottawa defensemen the way they should be worked. But Ottawa is working the Rangers defensemen, again, way too much time in their own zone, I thought, for the Rangers. Also, it seems like the Rangers are content to just pick up the forwards in front of Henrik Lundqvist or to the side and let these guys shoot from the point, which to me is not – we got Erik Karlsson and Sergei Gajdo, although he's very old. These guys are offensive guys, and, I, you know – How many times is Henrik going to have to make great saves through traffic? They need to address to get out and get those point guys. I mean, that's what I came away from the game. Other than, I mean, those are some of the negatives. But, they, I mean, there were certainly some positives. I mean, Brian Boyle is playing excellent. Ryan Callahan is just Brandon Dubinsky, who really was responsible for that Boyle goal, because I've talked about it on previous shows, Jim, and I know I'm going on here. I'm trying to get it all out. He's able to take charge of the puck. He's almost like a bull in a china shop. He can actually take the puck, gain the zone, and he did that on that play. And Callahan kind of rescued that play from being kind of a, you know, a nowhere thing. And Boyle just with a great shot. You know, that first line, like you said, has been kind of quiet. You know, Gabarek and Richards. I thought Richards played a little bit better. I don't know. What did you think on some of the points I just touched on?
Well, I just think that first line, I just think Ottawa was really, really keyed in on them very well. Gabarek has almost, I mean, I said it last night, it's like he's skating in a phone booth. He's got no room to move. None. He's had no open space whatsoever. And I just think, you know, maybe shuffling them around a little bit and trying to play the matchups, maybe that'll work to their advantage. And it's just, it seems strange to me that for a guy that juggles lines like it's a bodily function, now he's stubborn on the lines. But, you know, I don't want to complain too much because they're up 2-1. I'm just, you know, we try to play it straight instead of, you know, just waving the pom-poms. Because I don't think the series isn't over. I don't think, you know, I don't think they go on to win this in five. But do you think it would be to get what you were saying about Delzato? He made, I think it was probably in the first maybe 8 minutes of the game, he made two absolutely horrendous stick handling mistakes.
Yeah.
I had my head in my hands. He was back at the blue line. The Rangers were in the offensive zone. He was back at the blue line. He took a pass, and he was like a foot inside the zone and just lost the puck.
Yeah.
He just lost the puck out of the zone. I was like, oh, I don't remember if they were on the power play at that point or not. And then not long after that, he made another really bad – he doesn't look comfortable. And, you know –
I think it's a nerves problem. I know you hate to say that because they reached, you know, they are at this level. You know, Chandler put it right, and I've been using the phrase all week, is the moment was too big for him. You know, he gets lost in the big moments there. And those are two plays that I think he makes in the regular season. Now, I'm certainly not going to, relegate, I'm not going to rail on him, because some of my friends got to watch the game live with Mandar when Delzato put that puck in the net.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I think Mandar actually believes that Delzato did it on purpose.
When that happened, I could only picture Mandar sitting in his living room. He's in North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
And he reaches up and pulls a string, and all these balloons come floating down from the ceiling.
I was right.
But yeah, so. Now do you think I would be exaggerating if I said that Anton Stralman's been maybe one of if not their best defenseman in this series?
Absolutely, you are correct. With
Stu Bickel maybe being second?
Well, Bickel made a great play with that glove save he made sliding across. You know, whether Henrik says he would have had that or not, that still was a tremendous play. Anton Stralman made a great play on a stick check coming back. He's been a consistent guy shooting the puck and hitting the net, although I remember him missing it. Just when I was starting to praise him, you know, once you start praising a guy and then he does something
over,
he does something boneheaded for that. But yes, Anton Stralman certainly has been better. The Rangers looked more acclimated in that second half of the game. You could even see it. It wasn't like the second half of game two. The Rangers controlled the puck. They weren't icing it all the time. They were under a deluge. It seemed they kind of gotten their composure, which is so strange because with a 1-0 lead in the NHL playoffs, you would think that, you wouldn't be that comfortable, but they seem to be comfortable there. Yes, Anton Stralman, big kudos to him. I thought Fedotenko had another good game. Artie played well. Kreider seemed to be, to me, was kind of just feeling his way out. Didn't want to get caught out of position. There was
Tortorella was real happy with his game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and considering that he's rarely happy with any about anything, I would say that's especially a young player. So
he was certainly not in the doghouse then.
Right. No, he said,
take this man to the cooler.
I think Tortorella said something to the effect of, he was thrust into an impossible situation and played real well or something like that. I'll see if I can find the exact quote, but I'm not far off. Not far off.
Yeah, there was one play in front of the net that I wish he would have had a little bit more hands. There was a scoring opportunity. I don't remember exactly when that was, and he kind of was slow to react. I don't know. I'm not going to break down every element of his game last night, but he didn't look out of place. He didn't look like, you know, he looked very cautious out there to me. And listen, it's his first ever NHL game, and you're thrown in the playoff game with him. That's a big deal. And, he certainly also, on the other hand, for a lot of people who are always talking about how, you know, we got to have this guy in the lineup. You know, you come to the NHL, it's not like you're going to have 5 goals like you did in college and dominate. I mean, it's going to take a while for this kid.
Right.
And I did notice that they did reunite the pack line for at least 1 or 2 shifts. They had Callahan and Isimov and Dubinsky out there, and they did pretty well. So I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to be coming later on, but they didn't mess with that first line too much, as much as I thought they would. I guess you were kind of waiting for it too. But the real story is Henrik Lundqvist. Let's face it, the guy was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making saves in traffic. It's just it's why we pay the money we pay him to play the way he plays. He just is a fantastic goalie. He's all world. And you know, possible Vezina Trophy winner. I don't know. Jonathan Quick. I know Meg's Kings now are up 3-0. So, we'll see what happens in the offseason. But he was the savior last night as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. 646-478-4692, the number. If you guys want to call in, just remember we're only doing an hour tonight. And then we will be back Thursday night at 9 o'clock. There was something else I wanted to – I thought, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with Kreider, conservative. But I thought he played okay, showed the speed a few times there, and I think they'll be fine with, you know, keeping him in there. I don't think they're going to lose anything. Talked about Stralman.
The power play too is I don't know what we have to do to get this power play rectified. I guess there is nothing to do. It is what it is, I guess, to use a popular phrase of the day. But I don't know. I feel really bad that the power play cannot right itself, because in these these real tight games, it becomes a crucial factor. And I still don't, you know, overall, Jim, I still think the Rangers aren't even close to playing the way they could play. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating Ottawa's effort out there, because certainly the coach, their coach, check your diabetes and check it often, is got these guys well coached, and he's, you know, Paul McClain's got the team playing well. I mean, you know, I'm looking at the shot totals. Well, Bobby Butler, they made him into a superstar last night. He had 5 shots on net. I see the great Kasper Dahlgren's got benched. And Konopka, who is a face-off god, they got to answer. That's another reason why they got dominated on face-offs, because Konopka's so good. Carlson, another 5 shots. Although, you know, if you look at the whole series, Jim, Spezza, McCulloch, not much. Not much at all.
No, not really.
You know? I mean, Spezza got caught up in a little penalty trouble last night. Took 6 minutes. He also saved the goal on that goal that they went to Toronto for that was reviewed. That was a good play by him. And what's up with those Ottawa fans? They're doing these chants. First of all,
the countdown?
Yeah, that countdown thing. And didn't you guys think that they were awfully quiet last night coming out?
I thought they were okay. I thought they were okay. The countdown, I posted that out to Twitter last night. What is that stupid countdown? Was my exact tweet. And I got a million responses. I guess at the 11-minute mark, they count down for Alfredson.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I responded, what, no Yashin chant? When's the Ray Emery chant?
Yeah, I mean, really, he's not even playing.
I think that's why they do it. I guess that's the point. And now, did you see that he suffered a setback and they don't expect him to play game 4?
Oh, really?
Yeah, something very strange going on with that whole situation.
We haven't even talked about the ridiculous suspension.
You thought it was ridiculous?
3 games?
I thought the suspension was okay in itself. In comparison with the rest of the nonsense that's going on with this league right now, it's a little out of whack. But, if he elbows the guy to the head and gives him a concussion and the guy's out and it's 3 games, I don't have a problem with that. But compare it to some of the other bullshit that's going on with this league right now. And I read an article on this today. I think it was in the Globe and Mail up in Toronto. And it made good sense. This is going to continue until the NHL finds an independent person who has no ties to the league to hand out these punishments. Because Brendan Shanahan isn't looking at it correctly. And that's why he can't.
Well, that's my problem with it.
Yeah.
I watched, his explanation of the call. The opposing player takes an elbow to the head. Although he did pick up his stick in order to defend himself, Carl Hagelin, a first-year player, delivers an elbow to the side to the face of Daniel Alfredson. Suspension, 3 games. Okay. Now, I say this. If that was our beloved Kasper Dahlgren, who didn't play last year, but say it's a guy that's not of any stature or any real consequence to the outcome of the game, does he get 3 games? I don't think he does. Maybe he does it to Chris Neely, gets a game, maybe 2. But I believe it's all on who you hit.
Well, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it.
Should it be that way? I mean, shouldn't it be, you know, if you're going to take this stuff out of the game, just take it no matter who does it? And the fact that Hagelin had no previous record, Or does that work against him because he's a first-year player and he does that, so they're harder. Maybe that works into the formula.
According to the – I don't know if you're following the chat room here, but I guess Rafi Torres hit Hossa right in the chin. Adam says it's a pretty violent hit, and they're taking Hossa off in a stretcher.
Wow.
If
Rafi Torres is a little dirty.
He is. He's a shitheel.
Yeah. Well, he's a friend of a big fan favorite of his is DB Maven.
Really?
Yeah. DB talked about him a couple of years ago. Him and Garnett Exelby.
Garnett Exelby. We hardly knew ye. Looks like about 2 minutes to go in Jersey over in Newark. Panthers
heard
up 4-3.
Heard Ken Danico on ESPN Radio today. Talking about the Rangers, was very impressed with Ken's breakdown. No, I'm
why
serious.
That?
I
why
actually,
that?
He was just, you know, he was not, you know, like he wasn't like, you know, he's not hinged by the MSG restrictions, so he can say more what he wants to say. And that ESPN, the MSG, MSG restrictions,
right.
You know. So he was saying, you know, Ryan Callahan is just, you know. Not that he was saying anything like epic and making any revelations. He's just saying Ryan Callahan is like no player he's ever seen. You know, he's the entire package, and that there are certain guys that raise their certain guys that raise their playoff. Bergenheim's one of those dudes too that kind of elevates his game in the playoffs. So about Lundqvist, he was just really good. I mean, so I was impressed. I also heard Callahan was on with Dominic Recca, but I didn't get to hear that. So, but apparently this host injury is big time.
Yeah, I'm just kind of trying to follow along in the chat room here. I got a TV in this room where I do the show from. I got to get this thing hooked up so I can just put the games on and have them on mute. But so all right, 646-478-4692. Is the number, and we'll be back Thursday night with a game 4 wrap-up. Here, I'll give you a couple more of these. According to the Secret Service, a hooker in Cartagena costs more than Devil's playoff tickets. CDs at Sam Goody in the 90s cost more than Devil's playoff tickets. Albany Devil's playoff tickets cost more than Devil's playoff tickets. A perm for Scott Hartnell costs more than Devil's playoff tickets. A game of miniature golf costs more than Devil's playoff tickets.
Wow. Well, it's 57 seconds left in that game. According to the great man.
Okay. So
we have any phone calls? I want to see where everybody is. If not, we'll talk to ourselves.
We have phone calls. Is this Costa?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, Costa? How are you?
Aren't the Ranger Ottawa series as far as the scores real like closer to what like sort of playoff scores is? Because I think we're closer to what playoff hockey is than like say. Philly, Pittsburgh, because they got the high, they're scoring goals like it's going out of style.
Well, it's true. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there's certainly no defense and goaltending in that series.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just surprised that Ottawa is able to hang with us defensively. I'm a little surprised by that.
Because they're fast little bastards. That's why. We've always had trouble with speedy teams this season.
You got a point there. You got a point there. I mean, we've had a little bit of trouble with that. Actually, I would like to see the Rangers a little more aggressive. Yeah, I don't know. I still didn't think their defense plays a little too... but that's their style. Like you said, it's playoff hockey. So, you know, Rangers go on to the second round. Hopefully they'll be more adjusted to the type of playoff hockey than, say, you know, Philly or, you know, some other team. But I don't think the See, that game was not physical at all.
No.
And
this,
that
this
worries
just
me.
Did.
What?
The Devils have lost.
Wow. Get out of here, you bum.
Yes.
I think in game three, both teams played not to lose. To be perfectly honest.
Joe says, and all 29 fans are booing. Welcome. Couldn't happen to a nicer team.
Well, I wouldn't say they were playing not to lose, but it was certainly got cautious.
Yeah, it was cautious. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like a very cautious game. I don't know. It's tough to say. I hope the Rangers can get it together for tomorrow night and
play a little
bit better.
Or you'll see a little more opened up, or you think it'll be more of the same?
I just want to see more zone time with us in their zone. I just haven't seen that forecheck that I want to see. And I know, I joked about it all year long that we like to go in their zone, turn our backs to the net, and just keep it in there, going back and forth and playing, pong between the boards, and no scoring chances. I'd rather actually see that rather than, 45 seconds in our zone where Henrik loses his stick, this guy breaks his stick, Lundqvist has lost his stick, back to Carlson, back to Gonchar. Oh, wait, you don't hear that play-by-play. You hear, Matt Gilroy is having his first child. But, hey, listen, they're up 2-1. I think they got Ottawa on their heels a little bit. Now they're starting to realize that Henrik Lundqvist is he could be frustrating them a little bit, as the series goes on. And Ottawa hasn't been able to score early on the Rangers. All their goals, pretty much have come in the second and third periods. They don't get it much in the first period. The Rangers can pounce on them. That's the key, is to get out of the gate early.
Most of the goals have been from long range, from short range, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some garbage goals. And game two, there were three garbage goals, too.
And I think another thing I'd like to see the Rangers do with the rest of this series is this guy Anderson is a gambler. He's almost like Brett Favre of goaltenders. I mean, he's coming out of the net, stick handling the puck when he really should be. And I'd like to see the Rangers make him pay. They've come close a couple of times, but I'd like
right.
to see them. I mean, there's been a few times he likes to wander out of the net. What's that?
Only the Rangers can make Anderson look like wah.
well, they're still going to get more traffic in front of him. Go ahead.
I think when he stayed between the pipes, he's been solid. But there have been a couple of times where he's wandered out and made some stick-handling mistakes. He'll turn the puck over, and the Rangers just haven't made him pay for it. And I think that's one thing I'd like to see them do. Burt Favre. That's John Grossman, the Packers fan. That's right. That's a dirty word to him.
We won't talk about him and his ridiculous retirement and all that. But still, I think the Rangers are going to find their game. I still feel like they haven't. And again, it's a new season. It's a lot of young players, so everybody's trying to get a feel for what's going on. And thank God for Brian Boyle.
That's right.
Brian Boyle for Conn Smythe.
Right, Coast. I've been saying it all year.
Sure.
All right, Costa.
real quick, do you think Stefan is playing hurt, or is it the dreaded sophomore jinx?
He actually had more points than he had last year. So,
really?
Yeah, he had less goals, but more points. So, is it a sophomore jinx? No, I think he's either hurt. What'd you say?
I think he's playing hurt.
Could be. We'll see. We're going to see what unfolds, Again, I don't want to start putting guys into boxes just yet.
and hemming and just getting opinions just yet. It's a long series, and you're going to need goals from guys that you don't expect. And boy, are we getting them with Brian Boyle.
Sniper extraordinaire.
You think Brian Boyle turned into like a Brad Richard type player because, you know what I'm saying? Like in 2004, he was on fire in that playoffs in 2004.
Well, no.
Ask me in 3 weeks. He's having a nice series so far. Let's, you know, his buddy from Holbrook would say, "We're getting a little crazy."
All right, brother.
All right, Costa.
Bye.
We'll talk to you later.
Fatherly
bye.
Juices.
Thank you. Now, all right. So, real quick before we bring Mandar in. You got to watch the game on MSG last night, obviously, and I got to watch it on NBC Sports. And they were on CNBC last night. NBC owns 15 channels, and they got to stick the Rangers on the Ocho. I mean, it's not like they play any play. You know, they're a small market team, I guess. Manhattan. CNBC. I had to ask my cable box to search for the game. Find me the Rangers. Find what fucking channel they're on. As you would call it, get some hooky falooky broadcast. And then they got these camera angles. Anybody that was in the chat room who had to watch the game, like Amy, I know she's in Colorado. She had to watch on CNBC. And Justin, every time somebody stands up in that arena, I can't see what's going on. What's the? Here I come to my Seinfeld. What is the deal with NBC in that arena? I can't see the game every time somebody stands up. Every time one of those fucking Hicks goes for a Labatt's, I can't see the game. Hey, Jacques, sit down. Go in between periods. I can't see the game because of CNBC.
You mean this is like the L.A. Forum and then like the 1990s and 80s, down in front. Down
like
in front.
It's like watching a game at the Bayonne Rink. Come on.
I didn't know you didn't watch the MSG broadcast. We are starting to think that MSG actually tones down the crowd.
No, well, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised about that either. And then it gets better, right? So now, you know, I got Jacques in section 21 at the Correll Center or whatever the fuck they call that place now because it's had 100 names. Hey, I'm watching the back of his head for half the game. You know, excuse me, sir. Can you sit down? You know, I just want to reach over. Pardon me. You know, whatever. Then about 5-8 minutes left of the game, the color thing starts flashing like I'm on bad acid or something. Like there's all these colors and the pictures pixelated, and I'm tweeting NBC. I mean, you got to see me. I'm just going out of my mind here last night watching a game with my wife. Right, tweeting to NBC like they're gonna read it. I'm tweeting them, fix the fucking picture. I mean, it's all pixelated. It's in a million colors. It's like Rainbow Road on Mario Kart. If you've ever played Mario Kart, right? And then with five minutes to go, right? The audio cuts out, which was the best thing that happened out of the whole game because those announcers were terrible. No emotion. Brian Hayward was just puffing on the Ottawa dick all game. He's a clown. He's a clown. What a terrible announcer he is. I mean, oh, look at how great Carlson is, and this Ottawa team is great. This. I like to tweet, oh, thank you for bringing me Ottawa Senators hockey on NBC Sports. There's two fucking teams on the ice, for God's sake.
He's a Canadian. Oh, that's Anderson. Canada. Those guys, I mean, they just, they're Canada homers. I mean, how many teams do they have in the playoffs? Two?
That's not my fault.
No, I agree with you.
I ain't apologizing. So, Sens fans, let's to recap. Stop with the countdown. It's dumb. And sit down. I can't see the fucking game when it's on the Outdoor Life Network or whatever the hell NBC is sticking it.
You know,
well, coming up after 30 Rock, it's the Rangers.
And the towels, too.
Oh, the towels. And, you know, I didn't even think about it. You were talking about the towels at MSG, and I completely forgot. You know what, Madison, Ranger fans, I love you to death. No balloons during the game. Stop batting around the balloons. It's not a Jimmy Buffett concert. It's a fucking hockey game. If one of those balloons comes near me, I'm sticking a needle in it.
There's just going to be no joy in MSG while Jim is there. No joy.
No, there can be plenty of joy. Don't hit a balloon at me. I'm not drunk and dancing barefoot with a chick with a grass skirt with no top on. Margaritaville ain't playing. I don't want a balloon in my face.
Basically, you big chief no fun of the I don't want a tribe.
Big not chief true no at all. Gonna... That's not true. No balloons, and I'm with you. You know, I was with you on the Thundersticks, and I'm with you on the towels. Can't I have balloons?
You said you would blame me on the towel. You're blaming the towels?
No, I was with you on the towels, but we don't need props. What's the deal with balloons in hockey games?
Well, the ladies, they like to blow up the balloons for their husbands, and then they throw them out. Or the guys, for their women, they blow up the balloons and throw them out, and it's like,
now,
party!
I don't think you're giving female Ranger fans enough credit, because you think they just want to go to the game and play with balloons? Not our fans. Not our Ranger fans. Not our women.
I'm just telling you from my experience, when I used to go to the games regularly, there was a big thing for women.
That hit it right on the head. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Fuck the balloons.
Yeah, this is another one, man. Stop with the pots and sucks chants. There were more than let's go Rangers chants in game two. Kill that guy. Again, there's a bounty on his head. I don't care if they throw me out of the NFL. Find that guy.
All right. I've ranted enough. You never know that we won last night. I'm just ranting on the podcast, though.
If you can win and rant, that's a double win.
I just want a decent broadcast. NBC and the NHL, they entered into this 30-year partnership because – nobody's watching the NHL and nobody's watching NBC, so let's just have nobody watch the NHL on NBC. But can we at least get a decent broadcast? Can we pretend like we know how to show a hockey game?
And then tomorrow night...
Those balloons are annoying, aren't they, Sam?
Yeah. Well, tomorrow night's the big viewing party.
That's right.
You mentioned that over at the Irish Times across from the Garden on 31st Street between Cafe 31 and Brother Jimmy's Barbecue, whatever.
I got a text from Lovesick Braverman. She believes she is going to be there. Who else said they were? Who else did I see said they were going to be there tomorrow night? Oh, I think Newman might be going.
Frankie's going to be there.
Frankie?
Fort Myers will be there. You can meet Frankie in person.
Frankie's on hold.
I just lied. Frankie is not going to be there. Frankie's on hold, so we'll bring him on soon. But I just wanted to say I had something else to say that had to be done with that. There will be no balloons.
Why are there no balloons at a Blue Shirt Underground radio viewing party?
So let's bring Frankie on without any further ado.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Frankie, how are you, buddy? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing just great. It's about 85 out here. The jacuzzi is down the last couple of days, so I'm not feeling too happy about that.
What's wrong?
But anyways, I just wanted to say I am so happy for that European scout that signed Lundqvist to a contract many years ago, because boy, oh boy, this guy is like, I can't even say that Lundqvist plays over his head, because he just keeps on getting more spectacular. I mean, stops pucks with his face, with his head, with his rear end. He just is like... he's like the Great Wall of China out there, you know? Just a remarkable player, and he deserves every penny he gets in salary.
Frankie, where would you put him in comparison to Richter?
Oh, much better than Richter. Much better. Much better than Worsley as well.
So,
if you remember the Gumper.
Yes, I remember, saw a little bit of him.
And Davidson, I never liked Davidson because I saw him miss pucks at center ice, and you know, slap shots from center ice, and then he gives some sort of excuse like he wasn't set or he lost it in the lights and stuff like that.
Frankie, Eddie used to cut Gump Worsley's lawn.
I'm surprised anybody remembers him.
Of course. Of course. How about would you go as far as to say he's better than Shockerman?
Oh, much better than Shockerman as well.
So, really, the best Ranger goaltender of all time, practically, from what we've seen.
Yes, and I really thought that the Rangers were outplayed in the last game. I just thought that this Lundqvist is like, every time I think he's like spectacular, he takes it like to another level. You know, like, wow. I mean, this guy, our team, I don't think is really, really dominates that many games. It's just that we know what we have back there, the best. And if we could just support him, Stahl would, discounting Stahl, Lundqvist is the man. I mean, he could. You just have to score one goal for him, and he'll get you in there. You know, he's just a remarkable talent, the best there is, the best I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's high praise.
That's high praise.
I don't know where his weakness is. I remember Larry Cahan. I remember Harry Howell. I remember Ben Park. I remember a lot of defensemen, but boy, you know, Lundqvist is just, he is just, I've never seen us get dominated in so many games, and we still won.
Right.
We get dominated in the game by the opposing team. They spend the whole game in our end, and they can't convert, you know, because Lundqvist is like, I don't know, you know, just don't know what his thing is. Yeah. But when he goes, we're going to get the number one pick in the draft. Probably every year.
But, you know, it's funny you say, I don't think a lot of experts know that. You know, like, they don't watch the Ranger games. The Rangers do get dominated a lot.
Yeah. I mean, but, I mean, like, Lundqvist is, he's on, I mean, he's on another level. You know, he's just like, geez, you know, he's just, you know, just an incredible talent. And I can't believe he went so far in the draft before, I don't know what that scout's name was, Backstrom, or whether it was Hedberg or whoever it was that recommended him. But, boy, that guy, we should go kiss his feet every night. Just Lundqvist.
You get Rex Ryan to do that.
What a talent. You know, sometimes we win in spite of ourselves because we have Lundqvist back there. And I like to say quickly that Boyle has stepped up, and I know he has problems finishing, but he sure has earned his paycheck in the playoffs. And one thing I wanted to say, I don't understand how this altercation game misconduct works. You know, I understand Dubinsky getting a game misconduct. That made sense. I mean, he didn't fight or anything, but he was the third man in. But I also remember the game before, Boyle pushing around and rubbing gloves in Carlson's face, and it was an altercation. Both of them received minors. But during the altercation, Jason Spezza grabbed Boyle in a headlock from behind while that guy Mikulak started pushing, rubbing gloves in Boyle's face. That was an altercation. Why didn't they give a third man in or a fourth man in with Ottawa? I mean, I just don't understand that. It was a penalized altercation with a third man in and a fourth man in, both from Ottawa, and nothing was called. Don't understand that at all. Do you guys recall the play?
Yeah, I recall that play, yeah, too.
No, you're right on. You're right on, Frankie.
I guess nobody saw him get Boyle in a stranglehold from behind. You know?
Right.
Well, maybe they didn't see Mikulak started hitting him when Spezza had him in a headlock. You know, I don't understand it. You know, I thought Shanahan was, like, objective, but he's made some calls that I don't understand. Don't understand. Binsky, unfortunate that what he did, but it was definitely a game misconduct. And Carter, I can't believe he only got one game. That's astonishing.
Now, what'd you think about the suspension for Hagelin?
Hagelin, I don't know. I think that guy is made out of glass, Alfredson, because he got his concussion earlier in the season as well. But you know what? Hagelin is not that type of player. I don't know what he's doing with his stick all the way up there in that guy's face. That's not Hagelin's style. What possessed him, you know, to do that? He tries to tell us that, well, he saw the guy raise his stick, Alfredson, so he raised his stick in self-defense. I don't buy that. He was captain of the Michigan team. He wasn't trained that way to play hockey like that. You know, he that's just not his style of play. It was so out of character for him that, you know, he got what he deserved. I felt bad about it. But that's not Hagelin's style of play. What was he thinking? What was he doing? You know? Just, it's unfortunate, you know?
Yeah, it was uncharacteristic of him. And I don't know, three games to me, I agree with you. I mean, really, it didn't look like a concussion. I mean, it's hard to tell with these things, but...
But you remember, that's the reason why I don't go hardly in the pool at all, because I had a grade 4 concussion, which is the most serious one you can have where you're in a coma for a week. And this guy, Alfredson, had a concussion earlier in the season. And when you get hit in the head once, you know, and suffer a concussion, a measurable concussion, it's a lot easier to get the second concussion. So... He's got like a glass jaw, Alfredson. You can't hit him high. You know, he goes down. You know, and sometimes people think they're diving, but, you know, a head injury is a head injury, you know? So I just feel bad. Hagelin has no history. He doesn't play that kind of hockey. I don't know why he kept that stick high. And the guy got hurt. You know, otherwise, if he was making believe, he would have showed up in the last game. But you know what? It is what it is. You've got to be held accountable for what you do. I haven't lost any faith in Hagelin. I still think he's a decent talent. I just think he did something that was so out of character for him, and I hope he learns from this. I don't think it was meant to punish him as a major felon in the league. It's just that he did something stupid and something that he should be punished for.
What about Kreider? Quickly, what's your assessment of what you saw out of Kreider?
Not really. I didn't see anything that impressed me, like Hagelin back checks. Hagelin gets in the corner fast. He has tremendous speed. Kreider is a big, big body. He has skills. I don't know. You know, I got to see what he does in the pros. But quickness-wise, Hagelin is quicker in the corners, quicker on the back check. And half his size, if that's possible. I think Kreider, I don't know. It's that was issues when he was drafted as to whether, you know, he would do well in the pros, whether he had finishing skills, whether, you know, he had the intelligence, the hockey intelligence to be successful. I don't know. I mean, and breaking him into playoffs, there's a lot of pressure on a young kid. He's only like 21. So his book is not written yet, and I think it's still much, much too early to. I got to see how he does beginning of camp next year, and then how it translates into the season. I wish we hadn't given up our 1 year on the entry level contract, but Saban's not the brightest light in the forest anyway. So, yeah,
right,
this elevator don't go all the way to the top. And he's a few French fries short
chicks
of a happy.
Can
year.
I hold his smoke? That would be chicks. Can I hold?
All right, Frankie, we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you. Good night, gentlemen.
Take care.
Good night, Frankie.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've done it again.
All right, a minute left. We're gonna bring Mandar on. We're going to go to podcast. You can download the podcast in about – it'll be ready in about 45 minutes. We will see you guys Thursday night. It's been a fun show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Mandar, are you there?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine. How are the behemoths of Block Talk Radio tonight?
We're doing pretty well. So, quick, your points, give it to us.
I keep going back to the fact that no matter how they've played well, not well, been bottled up, they haven't played behind in the entire three games, which I think is amazing. Not one time, other than obviously the overtime goal, but they still, in not one of these games have they played from behind. And I think that's an amazing thing after three games. That's the most telling thing.
Jesus.
What else you got?
Wow.
Eddie doesn't agree.
You don't agree?
I'm only joshing his galoshes. That is an amazing fact. That is.
No, that and the fact that, again, I think Anderson kept that game from being a 3 or 4 nothing game last night, too. I mean, he made a stop. Dubinsky actually shot one right in the logo, surprisingly. They just...
are you being sarcastic, or the fact that he actually got it on net?
Well, yeah, well, he was almost too close to miss, but I guess there really isn't a thing as too close to miss for Dubinsky anyway. And Callahan on the breakaway and that other scram in front. You know, I think the Rangers had some offensive chances, but they played last night like they played all year long. We'd love for it to be a little bit less nerve-wracking, but that's what they've done all year long. I mean, they haven't ever dominated. They've played the bend-not-break system, and they'll continue to do that with Ottawa anyway. So I'm you know, again, I'd like my blood pressure to be a little bit less watching them play, but at the same time, the results are what matters, and they should be up 3-0, but they still win it in 5, like I said originally, and on to tomorrow where they should win by more than 1.
Mandar, did you see this hit on Hossa? Have you seen the video?
No, I didn't. I was watching the Devil game when it happened. I was reading what everybody else was saying. I'm watching the... What was that?
Eddie played around with the switchboard.
I hit the wrong button. That time,
I just posted a link in the chat room. It's not a great video, but you can see it. But wow.
Let me see this.
Pretty rough hit.
I want to look at it too. I mean,
let's
was
see
it,
immediate reaction. Oh, this guy filmed it from his own TV.
Yeah, that's basically what he did. But what are you gonna do? That's the only one.
Still downloaded on mine.
I want to see if it's the replay because now he's down. They only had it in real time, so
I might have a better video. Let me see.
I just want to hear the reaction.
Ooh,
me.
His feet though.
Okay, here's another.
This is Marian Hossa being hit by Rob.
I just put a link in the chat room, and it's the actual NHL video. You can see it real good on there.
Was there a call on it?
No. What I heard, no penalty.
Micheletti's doing the play-by-play.
He's still looking for Sam for affirmation on that.
Yeah, he left.
Man.
It looked like he left his...
He did.
Oh.
They're taking him out on this.
The only good thing about that hit is that he landed on his back first, kind of, so that like he didn't hit with the full force of his head.
Right. You know what? Wow. He gets maybe one game for that. Because I don't... The head wasn't the point of contact on that, and
yeah,
I don't know. Nobody knows what that really means.
I mean, yeah, Hossa had to leave on a stretcher, but it's not like they had to take him out on a helicopter or anything.
There you go.
That'll be the explanation. So,
well,
anyway.
Man, what are your predictions? Rangers in 5, Rangers in 6?
I said Rangers in 5 in the beginning of the story. I'm sticking with that story. I see nothing that Ottawa can do that would make them break through on the Rangers. I just don't see it. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you what. Carlson is a fantastic player, and he's out there every other shift, that guy. But he's a straight-line kind of player. So it was funny. And, Jim, you hit it right on the head with frickin' Brian Hayward last night. if you remember, there was a play, I think, with about a little less than 2 minutes to go, and Carlson streaking down the middle.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he gets into the Rangers zone. The Rangers, I think it was Girardi, poke checked it off the stick. He comes in the Rangers zone, poke checked it off the stick, and the Rangers iced it at that point. Now, what did he do? He skated into the zone. Rangers poke checked it and iced it. Hayward says that he went around four or five different Rangers and got the puck in the zone. This guy, he's worse than Chico Homer to me right now. I just can't. Brian Hayward is. Ugh.
Was that the same play where, as Carlson's skating down the ice, he's going, "What speed? What speed?" And then Carlson coughed up the puck.
It's insane. This guy, everything. I mean, anything Ottawa does, it's the most amazing thing. It's like he was interviewing Hank after the game. I wanted Hank to spit at him in the eye, because everything that they, you know, he was just so pro, you know, one side. And in what's supposed to be a neutral broadcast, I mean, the guy that was doing the play-by-play, he's the guy from the Carolina Hurricanes broadcast. Not so bad. The Carolina, you know, color guy is awful, but. Yeah, it was just insanity, and he did the same thing on Saturday night too, which just started my wonderful mood with him. But
isn't Carolina's color guy? Isn't it like Skip Tracy or something like that?
Yeah, Trip Tracy.
Trip Tracy.
Trip Tracy,
okay. Yeah.
Who the minor league goaltender. So of course he knows everything about the in and outs of being a goaltender.
Right.
And of course they have Cam Ward now. You heard. The play-by-play guy said, Hank says no. He said it once because he always says Cam says no. That's his big thing. When Cam Ward makes a thing, Cam says no.
Oh,
he said
yeah,
it once for Ed Lundquist, and that was all he did. I think he caught himself. But
he uses a lot of catchphrases. A lot of catchphrases.
It's just a horrible, horrible broadcast. But, yeah, and you're right about the psychedelic. I'm switching around channels thinking, is it my TV?
I did the same thing. I thought, well, maybe if I change the channel, when I go back, it'll be all right.
And then they had no audio from the announcers, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. That was about three or four. But then, like, the audio went out, and really quick, like, play stopped, and they went to a commercial really quick. And then I started yelling at the TV because I thought that they were having problems.
And then they went
to
commercial.
So they went to commercial to fix the problem. So now I'm, like, screaming at the TV, like, what the fuck's going on? But it was a stoppage in play, and it was a TV timeout, I guess, but...
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't understand. I would rather have Rachel Maddow on CNBC doing the play-by-play than these jokers.
And I mean, you know, I understand they only got so many channels to go around, but the Rangers.
Well, I'm glad they don't consider
the
Rangers Ottawa series anything more important than maybe, I don't know, the St. Louis San Jose series. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So. But the bottom line is, you know, with them, I thought Kreider in the first period played scared. He really did. I think you saw almost on his first shift where he was going in the corner and he stopped. And he basically just, you know, stopped and skated away from contact. I think the second and third, he kind of got a little bit more into the flow of it. And I like the fact that they put him on with Richards and Gabrick. He got some veteran players there. Guys who know where they should be on the ice. So the guy was fine, but once Hagelin comes back, he's going to take his seat back on the bench where, you know, out in the stands to learn, and you know, that's his role for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, there
all
you
right.
go. The great Mandaw checks in.
Oh, yes, by the way, Eddie, I was not pleased with number four's performance on Saturday evening.
I'll be the first to admit, I disagree with you on his regular season, but I'll be the first to admit, he's been terrible in this series.
He's been the worst.
He's been terrible.
He's been the worst defenseman of the whole crew in this series, and it sticks out because the other defensemen aren't playing bad. They're not, you know, Girardi, you know, I like the way he's been more assertive. McDonough's just been McDonough. Bickle's really, I'm surprised Bickle stepped it up, and not even just the block shot last night, he's been making the simple and right play. I love Strawman. I mean, the guy will just constantly shoot, and
he's
the only
terrific.
He's the only one that on defense that'll do that. But even Stahl's been up and down, but you know, most of the time you're not really worried when he's out there. But I just don't understand this guy. He can't keep a simple puck in on the power play. He's every time a forward comes down on him now, he's wailing on the ice. I mean, people will bring up, yeah, he deflected the puck in the net, but he also set up the one goal. And then on the 2-on-1 on the tying goal, he's fishing again on the ground. They go around him. So it's ridiculous.
When he leaves his feet, it's scary.
It is.
He's sliding around, and he really does look foolish almost every time he does it.
And the worst part is if you're going to do that, don't foreshadow it. Don't do it like 10 seconds before you have to. Time it right at the pass go down. He's leaving his feet, and they're not even thinking about making a play at that point. And so they just go right around them, and a play is made. So, I haven't bitched about him during the regular season, except for, again, I just expect more offense out of him, but he's been abysmal in this playoff series. Him and Stepan haven't done anything, and there are 2 point men on the power play on the first unit, and we really can't wonder why the power play is going wrong. I mean, that you look at the play of both those guys, and they're the most important guys on the unit. Stroman gets out to that second unit, all they're doing is getting the puck to the net and trying to shoot. And they got a goal for it. Stroman, I mean, the guy, that was a great power play goal he scored. But I like the way they're playing. I have confidence tomorrow night they'll play the same way again. I don't think Ottawa's going to goon it up anymore. There's no reason for them to. And then the Rangers finish it off Saturday night at home.
All right. Well, I like the way you're thinking. I agree with everything.
Oh, Eddie, one more thing. I'm sorry. By the way, and after that goal went in on Saturday, there were people at my house who that I, especially one in particular, that I had absolutely zero patience for.
Did you punch him?
I wanted to, but I was basically verbally held back in a way. And I'll leave it at that, but that was about it.
Well, Vandar, we appreciate your phone call, and we appreciate your wise and enlightened commentary.
I think that the nickname for you guys on the show should be the Behemoths of Blog Talk.
Well, why stop at Blog Talk?
Well, because it's a B word.
It's like being the Beast of Bayonne, wasn't that? When you told me you were going to hire a maid, I thought you'd get this little English lady with a hat and the umbrella and supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Instead, I get the Beast of Bayonne.
All right, good night, folks.
The reference. All right,
good night,
fellas.
Gentlemen.
Enjoy the game
we'll talk to you
we'll
Thursday.
See you Thursday.
Take care.